I call the meeting of the House Education Policy Committee to order, and we do have a quorum present. Our first order of business today is approving the minutes from Tuesday, March 14th. And Representative Youakim, have you had an opportunity to review the minutes? And if so, would you move the minutes from Tuesday?
Yes, Madam Chair, I have, and I move the minutes for March 14th.
All right, any discussion of the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, and the minutes are approved. Well, we do have an exciting bill to hear today, an important bill to hear, and it is House File 2685. Representative Hornstein. Representative Hornstein, would you please make your way to the testimony table? And members, also, this is a significant bill that we're hearing today. I think we're going to hear an important presentation. We'll have some time for member discussion. But this is a bill that our intent is to lay it over for today, knowing that we still would be able to move it forward to Education Finance, and that our schedule will permit it. What I give that is by way of introduction right now, and that, you know, also we do have time, and so. We are anxious and looking forward to hearing the testimony today for this important bill. Vice Chair Hill, would you like to motion House File 2685 before the committee to lay over for further consideration?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, that'd be the motion.
Thank you. All right. Well, welcome to the committee, Representative Hornstein. And before you introduce your bill, I do understand that you have an author's amendment that you'd like to offer to get into the shape that you prefer.
Yes, I would like to move the amendment.
And I believe it's the A23 amendment?
A23, yes, -0061.
All right.
And I would like to incorporate that to get it into the shape I'd like committee consideration.
All right, Representative Hornstein, I will move your A23 amendment before the committee to be added to your bill and get it in the shape that you would like. Any discussion of the A23 amendment? All right, seeing no further questions or discussions, let's move to adopt the A23 amendment, and this will be a voice vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. So the amendment is adopted, and I think that's how you would like to present the bill, is with the A23 amendment.
Correct. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Hornstein, please introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair, members. I so appreciate your hearing this bill. It is, as you said, Madam Chair, very, very important, particularly in the moment that we live in. I don't just, by way of introduction, before I get into the substance of the bill and the amendment, just want to let the committee know this is a very personal issue for me. I am the child of Holocaust survivors, and, having grown up in our household, it's sensitized me not only to my own family's history, but the history of all people who have been impacted by genocide. And so that's why we have, in this amendment, we include many of the genocides that we may be familiar with in world history, including our own experience, as we learned on Monday during Sovereignty Day, of the history and genocide of indigenous peoples here right in our country. This is so important to me, even at an early age, that when I was an undergraduate student at McAllister College, I felt that it was so important for me to capture and to learn from my parents who survived, other relatives who have survived. And so I went and embarked on a project to do an oral history of my family's Holocaust survival experience. And so I have it here. Many, many interviews with my parents and surviving relatives, and I feel so pleased that I was able to do this because now I've preserved these stories for my own children and generations ahead of generations behind. So I feel like, these stories are so critical. And why this bill is especially important now in terms of Holocaust survivors is that many of our survivors are older, and we need to make sure that those stories are preserved again for the future generations. When we lose the witnesses, we lose a part of our own history. And so, members, I want to just talk about why this bill is so important, and then we have some testifiers. National surveys demonstrate that those who study the Holocaust and genocide studies have more pluralistic attitudes and are more open to differing viewpoints of others. There's a greater willingness to challenge intolerant behavior in others and higher critical thinking skills and greater sense of civic and social responsibility. And so this bill, as I mentioned, the study of genocide studies in our schools, I think helps students counter hate and prejudice and equips educators to successfully teach Minnesota's new state social studies standards and benchmarks. And so just to go through the bill very quickly, in Section 1, we have definitions of genocide and some specific information about that. This definition came from scholars, who you'll hear from in just a few minutes, and they study the Holocaust, the genocide of indigenous peoples, and other genocides. In Subdivision 2, we have the requirements that are aligned with Minnesota's incoming K-12 social studies standards and benchmarks, and we have some important additions to those. And then you know, we'll hear from some genocide experts again who will help us understand better why this is so critical. And then we also have a section where we create a task force to get into the real specifics of what this curriculum would look like. And again, we draw a very diverse set of voices in that task force. So I know there'll be some other questions after our testifier, but I just want to say that, you know, we want to focus on best practices. And some of those best practices include going beyond the Holocaust to include the study of other genocides, closely align with state standards, create a diverse working group to help prepare teachers for success, and appropriate money for professional development. And we'll hear more about all of those things from our very special set of testifiers. So, Madam Chair, that is my overview of the bill, and look forward to your questions and to the testimony.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Horstein. I have on my list first Joe Eggers, and if he can make his way up to the stand, we can begin our testimony. And as you sit, get yourself comfortable, get the mic ready for yourself, you can identify yourself and proceed.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Joe Eggers. I am the interim director of the Center for Holocaust and Genocide Studies at the University of Minnesota. When Dr. Stephen Feinstein created our center back in 1997, it was amongst the first centers in the country dedicated to studying the Holocaust and other genocides. Dr. Feinstein envisioned a center that could nurture the needs of faculty and students across the University of Minnesota and respond to the growing needs and numbers of educators across the state and really the region looking for resources for their classrooms. In that time, the center has become has remained at the forefront of preserving the memory of genocide and raising awareness through the development of teaching resources and workshops. Throughout my near decade of working with the center, I've had the privilege of working with several communities whose stories have been shaped by genocide. A paramount concern of all of these communities is the desire to teach fellow Minnesotans their stories. And one community leader told me, genocide is woven into the fabric of Minnesota. And he's right. Over the last five decades, tens of thousands of foreign-born people have found a safe home in Minnesota after fleeing their homelands in the wake of violence and even genocide. Since the 1970s, Khmer, Hmong, Somali, Bosniak, and more recently, Ukrainians have all found sanctuary in our state. These numbers don't factor in groups like the Armenians, Jews, and the earlier waves of Ukrainians who came to Minnesota in the early 20th century in the face of persecution and violence. It also doesn't include Minnesota's indigenous nations, who've routinely been subjected to genocidal policies in the state since the first treaty in 1805. And our teachers speak to this need. At one of our workshops, I was asked by an educator, "These students are in my classes. How can I possibly tell them their story?" This question is supported by surveys we've done with educators that point to the lack of resources as the primary reason teachers give for not including the Holocaust or other genocides in their curriculum. Nearly every respondent says including these topics is important to them, yet less than half spend any time on the Holocaust. That number drops significantly when we factor in other genocides. As it stands now, Indigenous genocide is the second most taught genocide in Minnesota. Nearly a third of Minnesota educators who teach about genocide are teaching about the experience of the state's Native communities, and that number continues to grow. It's important that we support our teachers by providing them with resources and access to professional development to teach the genocide of Indigenous people. This bill does that. Like many other communities in Minnesota's multicultural fabric, Indigenous students are in our classrooms across the state. More than half of Minnesota's Indigenous population lives right here in the Twin Cities metropolitan area. As my colleague, Dr. Gabrielle Spears-Rico, who we worked closely with in drafting critical portions of this bill, shares in her statement, it's important that our Indigenous children see themselves in curriculum and for all children to learn about how colonialism impacted Indigenous people of the Americas. Such education helps counter stereotypes that plague Indigenous representation caused by the complete erasure of our history in schools. It is particularly important to include the Dakota genocide, as well as the Ojibwe and Ho-Chunk dispossession that took place, all of which involved mass deportations of American Indian people from within and outside the state. Events such as the imprisonment of Dakota people at Fort Snelling and their expulsion to Camp Davenport, Iowa, should be acknowledged and taught so that moving forward, we can move toward reconciliation and towards building a future that is inclusive of the interests and wellness of Indigenous people while working with our tribal nations. It's important to remember that just 6 years ago, that attack on Neuwalm, the infamous painting by German artist Anton Gag, was removed from this building after nearly a century of exhibition. The painting, which presented a portrayal of the 1862's most pivotal events, was one of the only representations of indigeneity in Minnesota's Capitol building. It typifies the need for increased education of the genocide of Native nations. Because of that, it's also important to point out that if this bill is passed, the language before you would be the first to include Indigenous genocide in state statute. As a Minnesotan, it is empowering to see our state take this momentous first step. Members of the committee, we cannot escape the legacies of genocide, but we can better equip teachers to address it in their classrooms. A policy that ensures Holocaust and genocide are incorporated in middle and high school is an important first step, but providing funding that supports the development of new resources is critical. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for our brief history lesson and enriching our understanding. I see Laura Zelli as our next testifier. And please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Laura Zell. I am a child of a Holocaust survivor, a former St. Paul public school teacher, and currently director of Holocaust education at the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas. It is my honor to be here today and to talk with all of you. I have made it my professional and personal obligation to ensure that instruction on the Holocaust is taught in an educationally sound way. Centering the complexity of this history is essential, as it creates opportunities for students to develop higher critical thinking skills, accurately interpret history, and develop a greater sense of civic social responsibility. These are not easy topics to understand, and these are not easy topics to teach, and they often bring up more questions than answers. The Holocaust was an unprecedented attempt to murder all European Jews and thus extinguish an entire culture. It fundamentally challenged the foundation of human values. Institutions and systems that were supposed to protect citizens and uphold democracy failed during the Holocaust. Examining this history can illustrate the roles of historical, social, religious, political, and economic factors in the collapse of these democratic values and human rights. It can prompt our students to develop an understanding of the mechanisms and processes that lead to genocide. A vital portion of this bill supports funding for teacher training. This is incredibly necessary. Those of us who are not in the classroom cannot assume that teachers have the time, the expertise, or the funds to effectively teach these histories without our support. As a former classroom teacher, I paid for my own professional development, spent many hours learning the subjects I was to teach, and that would often change from year to year. I'm fortunate today to meet and train teachers from across the country, including many in Minnesota. They have told me that through quality professional development and curated resources, not just a list of links from a museum or a list of links from an archive, that they would be able to feel more confident teaching these subjects, and they know they can do it well with support. This bill doesn't ask them to do more or to figure it out by themselves. It equips teachers to successfully teach to the new state social studies standards by establishing the task force that will be experts, teachers, students, and community members to build this repository of resources and help allocate grant money to teachers to further their learning. As my mother became a citizen and built her life in Minnesota after the war, she used to tell me that if more people had spoken up during the Holocaust, my grandfather and other relatives would not have died at Auschwitz. She used to ask me, where were the voices of reason? I know firsthand the dangers of remaining silent and indifferent in the face of oppression of others. And I personally have also seen the power of good teaching and the magic that can take place in a classroom. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story and your family's history.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Max Walston. And as you settle in, when you're ready, please identify yourself and proceed.
Madam Chair and members, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Maxwell Walstein, and I'm a freshman at Wayzata High School. In sixth grade, I wrote a research paper on the Holocaust for my English class, and that inspired me to learn more on the subject. I'm Jewish. My grandparents' families were greatly impacted by the Holocaust and violence towards Jews in Europe. After more research, I realized just how important the act of learning about the atrocities that occurred was, and so that no one would ever have to live through that again. In February 2020, I started a petition on change.org to ensure that Holocaust education would be standardized in the state of Minnesota. And that petition gathered around 1,600 signatures in 1 month. My school does teach about the Holocaust, but up to this point, I've only learned about it in seventh grade, and it was a very limited curriculum at that. What further confounded me was that kids at my school were not understanding of what had happened, of how just horrible the events were. The Holocaust is one of the most denied events in history, and that denial goes on to fuel anti-Semitism, which has been on the rise for years. When you look at the Twin Cities, we've had painful anti-Jewish incidents at even local high schools. Holocaust downplay or denial, whether it is intentional or not, severely hurts the Jewish people. And the best way to combat it is widespread common knowledge of what transpired. There are a lot of important things that students need to learn in school about history and civics, but we need to prioritize teaching about the Holocaust to ensure that it never occurs again. Thank you.
Thank you. And we do have a final testifier to come before us. And that would be Dora Zaden-Wedberg.
My name is Dora Zaden-Wedberg, and this is my daughter, Roseanne. I am a survivor of the Holocaust. I came to the United States in 1950. I was born in Poland in 1924. When I was in 1939, when the German the German nation embarks on the murder of 6 million of my people, including most of my my family. The only survivors at the time were my parents and myself and
your brother
and my brother. When we were privileged to come to the United States, most people were not quite believing that this could have happened to us, and they certainly didn't believe, as we pleaded, that it could happen here, because when there is a diverse population, as the United States, and especially Minnesota, which we are mostly interested in right now, although I plead for the entire United States, of the population of Minnesota now is much, much more diverse. And I would say that the lack of understanding of this diversity is a danger, and that it is very important to know. To us, when we came here to education, to attain an education, was the first thing that we had to strive for, because we were deprived of it for so many years. And today, when people are deprived of education, they absolutely have no access to a life that's better than what they have. I plead that that there be over the years, I must say, I did work very hard, and we had many times issued requests and even there were times when there were mandates to teach the Holocaust in colleges, state colleges, and in universities. But it usually ended up without anybody noticing even that it disappeared and just became the mandate of the institution. We need a requirement that not only all students, but everybody in Minnesota educated should have a knowledge of the dangers of what mass murder can happen, and that people have to understand to learn to live with each other. And that is only through understanding and through education, so that they know who the neighbors are, who the people are that they're living with and have to learn to live with them.
So we don't applause in committee, but understand that all of us are inside applauding right now and truly grateful for this honor of hearing this testimony and being in the presence.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're good.
And we'll have Representative Hornstein return to the table and take us to the next step, which is, I guess at this point, the discussion of the bill. Any words to conclude our testimony part?
Well, thank you. I want to thank Adora Zeidenweber for that very moving testimony. And I feel that as a witness, she has so much wisdom to share with us. And I thank you so much. As a child of survivors, I thank you. I'll just simply conclude. I could read some stories from my family, but I just want to let you share one with you, and that is from my mother when she was in hospice. My mother was also from Poland, from Lviv, which is now Lviv in Ukraine. My father was from Hungary. They met in a train going to a displaced persons camp in Germany after the war. I lost both sets of my grandparents on both sides of my family. And so when my mother was in hospice, I did ask her, in the Jewish community, we have charity. It's called tzedakah, which is literally justice. And I asked her, do you have a cause or someplace we could give tzedakah in your name? And she said, no, give it to elderly Holocaust survivors because they are struggling. And you know what else you could do, Frank? It means so much to me if we as survivors, that we could educate the broader community and the Jewish community about what happened. So can you put a program in my name at our synagogue, a Holocaust memorial lecture in my name? That was her last wish. And I feel like in many ways, me being here today and carrying this bill, I'm carrying on my mother's wish to all of you.
Thank you. Representative Feist.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to thank Representative Hornstein for bringing this bill. I grew up in Hebrew school. We learned about the Holocaust growing up, and I'm really interested in the studies that show that learning about Holocaust and genocides kind of promotes civic engagement and empathy. I don't think it's an accident that I grew up to want to be an immigration attorney, or that Roseanne grew up and wanted to be an immigration attorney. I think that it really stems from learning about the Holocaust from an early age and developing that sense of empathy and vigilance. At the Holocaust Museum, when I toured it, I assume it's still there. At the end, there's a room where you can look at how to apply all you've learned to help address potential genocide elsewhere in the world. And I thought that was very important, that it's not just an exercise just for the sake of it. It's how can we apply this wisdom to help others? And so that was what I wanted to say. Just thank you so much for all of your work on this. I think this amendment expanding it and really looking at all genocides is very important. So thank you.
Representative Yorke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Hornstein, for the amendment and really expanding this. As Representative Feist said, I only had one other suggestion, and I'm not sure if you've spoken with the Tribal Nations Education Committee. I know on lines 4.3 of the amendment, you say at least three representatives from Minnesota-based nonprofit organizations, and you put community groups, and then you add the sovereign nations in there. But because you really do speak to our Indigenous people quite frequently in the bill itself, I would really strongly suggest seeing if TNEC wants to be considered as having one person on the working group apart from that, just kind of being lumped in together as one of the three. I don't know if you've had conversations with them yet. They're really kind of our go-to for Indigenous studies.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you very much, and Madam Chair and Chair Joachim. Yes, I had some conversations during the bill's development, but particularly on Monday with the Minnesota Indian Education Council and several of the tribal leaders that were here. And that is an excellent suggestion. And, you know, they were uniformly interested in this, supportive of this. I think they felt that in many ways their history was erased and that this was very critical to them. So I will... we could do it as I'll consult with some of the others who are involved in this bill, but I'm very open to doing this, and either now or at the next committee stop, we could incorporate that.
Thank you. Follow up, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the next committee stop is our Education Finance Committee, so that would be greatly appreciated.
Madam Chair, I will say on the record that we will follow the Chair's advice.
All right.
Madam Chair, I was just going to finish. TNEC might be the perfect place to go just because they do have 14 members, I believe. So they'll be able to maybe have the capacity to appoint someone. I know they're spread thin, but thank you.
That is an excellent suggestion, and I would welcome their participation in the task force.
Thank you. Representative Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the author for bringing this bill forward. You and I talked about this quite a bit. But I want to make sure that we don't miss the importance of the content of this bill. When I was in fifth grade, I learned just a little smidge about World War II in history class, but I was fascinated by it. So I can remember going to the library and reading anything I could find from Corrie ten Boom and In the Hiding Place and, of course, Anne Frank and book after book on this. I've been to the Holocaust Museum twice in D.C., once with myself, once taking my family so I could expose my kiddos to that. And going into the room with the flame and standing there, which it gives you time to reflect in silence and to cry. And then this last summer when I was in Germany with our group for the climate summit, when we came to Berlin, we took a moment to go into the Holocaust Memorial. And for me, it was at dusk. And so you walk in, and for those that don't know, it's a series of tall, varying sizes of stone structures. And when you look at it, it looks fairly simple. When you begin to enter it, it becomes so much more obvious that these are these looming structures, and the deeper you go, sort of the more lost in the severity of what was experienced becomes more obvious. And as I went through, because it was at sunset, it got darker and darker the more that I wound my way through this almost maze. And it was such a sort of metaphor for what had been experienced to be going, you know, into this place where you could get lost in darkness. But then you came out and you came back out into the light, so to speak. But the reason that I share this with you and the reason that I think this bill is so important is because I'm very fortunate and very privileged to have been able to go to those places and to experience it. But for our students and our family that won't ever have the opportunity to experience that, something like this where they can learn about it in school, very targeted learning, not just a moment here and there in history class throughout their educational experience, but really learn about this, creates the empathy that Representative Feist was talking about and fosters the curiosity. And we've talked about this with the ethnic studies bills and other bills, that what we're trying to do is to expose our students to experiences that are not like their own, to cultures that are not like their own, in the hopes of making progress towards better interactions and less racism and less hate and less fear, because you fear what you don't understand. And just one last point, I really appreciate the amendment because I've said this here before. Most of us in this room, I hope,
learned about the genocide and near extinction of our native indigenous communities. And I knew this growing up in my education, but it wasn't until last session when I started hearing bills that were brought forth that I really understood about boarding schools. And to be nearly 50 years old and just be learning about the horror of boarding schools, that's a fail. That is a huge failure from our education system. And so through a bill like this, especially with the amendment to include the other genocides that we know of and that we have the opportunity to then explore in more detail, is critical moving forward for how we want this world to be for the next generation. So thank you, Rep. Hornstein, for bringing this. Thank you for your amendment. And thank you so much to the testifiers, including our student over here, that were willing to share what this means to them.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Hornstein, for bringing this bill before us. I also want to thank you for the amendment. I know we've had conversations, and I really appreciated you reaching out and making sure that the bill was reflective of all of the diaspora communities that have made Minnesota home, you know, including folks from former Yugoslav and, you know, parts of Asia. So I appreciate that. And I also wanted to amplify something from Mr. Wallerstein's testimony about the recent rise in anti-Semitism and just really hate crimes across the country. And so really appreciate this proposal at this time. It is very timely. As someone who also studied why civil wars and civil conflicts break out, I'm very concerned about the rhetoric, you know, here in our country and also around the world. And so appreciate you bringing forward this idea, which is so important, because I also believe, like Rep. Berg and others, that the more we know, the better we can be. And so thank you, and thank you to your testifiers today.
Thank you.
Representative Berg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Hornstein. Thank you for bringing this forward. It's important to shine the light of history on this very tragic event.
Thank you. Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Hornstein. Like Representative Berg, I also have a story of when I got to first experience this. I was an exchange student and had an opportunity to go to Germany. And I hate using the word tour because it makes it trivialized, but to tour Dachau. And as a almost senior in high school, that was an overwhelming experience that to this day I don't know if I really understand. To see pictures, to see the amount of shoes and glasses and all of those things that were collected. As a 17-year-old, you can't comprehend, and even now I'm still, I still think about that often. It was frustrating to me as my classmates would go around and look at this, and they would take pictures, and I just, taking pictures of it seemed to disrespect it, and I just couldn't do that. And so thank you for this bill. I'm hoping that as a person who got a chance to teach Anne Frank, and as a teacher, and also I was able to teach the Eli Wiesel memoir several times, I know the impact that it has on our students when they're able to really have trained adults to walk them through something like this. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I do appreciate the comments from our committee members, and I think you understand that we were all listening intently and experiencing this again today. And I also appreciate the bill author and the work that's been done, that we try to bring together all of these experiences, as we know here in the Minnesota House, because we've heard from our fellow members about the genocides that are here in Minnesota, and that that just as people can go to Germany and understand that that history is there to continue to teach, and it's that they're with a physical presence, that I think what we're talking about and what you're proposing in this bill is that, and as our testifier said too, Ms. Zeidwender, I know I didn't say it quite the way that she said it before, and I apologize.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't learn Polish early in life, and I don't think I'll get it now. that we need to know each other, because we are a diverse state, and we need to know each other's histories. And I think that's the intent of this piece of legislation, and its intent of other legislation and bills that we brought forward, is to make sure that we are teaching this whole history to our Minnesota students, because there's human tragedies and horrific atrocities that cannot happen again. And I know that that's the intent of what we're talking about today. And the intent of, I think, of the legislature going forward is, you know, how we can use education as a tool to prevent this. So, closing remarks.
Well, thank you so much, Madam Chair. Thank you to the members who listened, and to listen especially to Dora Zeidenweber and her story and her power. And I want to agree with so many of you that members that had talked about. You know, how important this is and how it's affected you personally and in your lives. And I thought, Madam Chair, you said it best here at the end, that we are one Minnesota community, and so we have a Cambodian community. We have people from the former Yugoslavia living here. We have Armenians. We have Ukrainians. The indigenous genocide is right here, took place. We had so many instances here in Mankato, the hanging. So I think that, you know, this is a way to bring people together, to honor the memory of our ancestors, and to look to a future where, you know, we can live together and understand the importance of combating hate together so that we can have a brighter future, all of us here in Minnesota.
Thank you. And now we get back to the House of Representatives. And with that, I renew Representative Hill's motion to lay over House File 2685.
And thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you again, members, for your attention and your interest.
As amended.
To move right, to that move as amended is so important.
Did I move it to finance?
Oh, are we moving it to? We are okay.
Madam Chair, with the amendment.
With the amendment, sorry. You know, and I we were having a moment of confusion here, and I apologize for that. But we will move it. We will move it to Education Finance
as amended.
Yes, I think we have a good understanding. And so, as amended, we are moving it to Education Finance, and we're going to take a vote on that. Sorry, committee. The original motion was to lay it over.
Okay.
I think that after our discussion, and especially the discussion of an acceptance of a friendly amendment before we move on to the next committee. So we're going to start over and with our motion right now. And so I would entertain a motion at this point to from Representative Hill to move House File 2685 to Education Finance. As amended.
So moved.
Right. That is our motion in front of us now. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Moving to Education Finance. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
And we do have one more bill today. And so we'll wait a couple minutes. A slight pause.
Is it not?
No, it passed.
Don't want to the next committee. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
So I just did a whole, you know, I did their stories before the war, during the war.
This is a member of the committee.
He's a mensch. This guy is a mensch.
A mensch member of the committee.
She understood what I said.
She doesn't. The thing wasn't working all that well, but thank you.
Right, members. Our final bill today is House File 2206. I think that this, my understanding is we have some procedures that we're going to work through here to get our bill numbers in the shape that we want them to be.
Yes.
All right. So, Representative Erdahl, would you like to move House File 2206 in front of us?
Should I move the amendment first or bill first?
Well, we'll move the bill and move the amendment, which is the DE2 amendment.
I will move the bill first then.
Yep. And then would you like to move the DE2 amendment?
And now I'll move the DE2 amendment.
All right. This is to make the bill that Representative Erdahl would like in front of us right now.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. This the amendment replaces the bill language with language from the omnibus bill that was passed from this committee last week.
Right.
And to explain then, I've already done a presentation on civics, actually many times. If you want me to do it again, just raise your hands.
I was going to say it never gets old, but maybe. We could get out early. I hear that it's nice outside.
So this is mainly procedural. I need to do this to establish a companion bill for Senator Swadzinski's bill. Basically, for some mix-up, we introduced bills on the same topic but different. And I need to match up the numbers, which is what this does. And essentially, some of the things that I believe are more onerous to some folks are in the other bill. And this bill, I'm sure, will receive much more support. And that's why I've done it this way.
All right. All right. Any discussions or questions on the DE2 amendment? All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The DE2 amendment is adopted. So we now have the bill before us as amended. I think our motion then would be to lay it over for, it's already included, but now we have it in the bill number that we want that'll be sitting here in the committee waiting to be picked up at any moment, I'm sure.
Well, thank you. That's all I need.
All right.
Just a few things that I think needed to be done, and that's what's happened.
All right. Discussion of the bill as amended.
Sorry, Madam Chair. I'm just looking at the agenda. At first, it said education finance. Why is this on the agenda? It says it's referring to education finance, and I was just talking with Ms. Withers. Why is this not going to the general register?
I think that we're fine with holding it here, and we do have the language moving forward. Okay.
That's fine with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Urdo.
So that's basically all I've got.
All right.
Unless you want more, I can do more.
We can. We've got time. We have the room. seeing no more discussion. Representative Erdahl renews his motion to lay over House File 2206 as amended for it's already included in our education policy bill that moved forward.
All right.
But thank you, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you.
All right. Having no more business before us today, meeting is adjourned.